The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Football at 4. Here's The Drive with Tyler Columbus and D-Mac.
That should be great. You know, the guy's been a great head coach in college football. I know he loves football, and I'm sure he studied the NFL extensively here in the last 2 years while he was out, and I'm sure he's ready for it.
That's Vic Fangio trying as hard as possible to praise Urban Meyer. Well, good luck on that. It's What to Know Wednesday, and this is awesome. We'll start with the offense, and then we'll go to the defense, but this is going to be great if you're a Broncos fan. Let's get to know the Jacksonville Jaguars. All right, Tyler, you've looked at the game. They only had one.
Yep.
As they got their clocks cleaned by the Texans. What'd you see?
Well, D-Mac, it was not pretty football. I mean, it looks like, you know, all those headlines I was reading you in the first segment talking about how big of a disaster it is out there and Urban Meyer's already lost the football team. You could just see it was a team in disarray. It was a team that didn't look like they were on the same page. Trevor Lawrence didn't look comfortable. Offensively, I mean, the entire team looked about as unprepared of an NFL team as, honestly, I've ever seen. Offensively, you had illegal formations going on. You had all kinds of missed assignments. And I'm very hesitant to ever label anything as a missed assignment because I know what it's like as a player, and people don't really know what your job is, but there was stuff that was just so obvious. Like, it didn't add up. The math didn't add up. You weren't going to the right mic. You weren't going to the right guys. There were so many missed assignments. It was so obvious. They had two timeouts in the first quarter on offense because they simply couldn't get lined up. They just couldn't get lined up in time. I mean, it's not a good football team. You know, they've got some players. Obviously, Trevor Lawrence is going to be a great player when it's all said and done, and I'm sure that it won't take too long. But you looked at him in this game, and you would say he certainly didn't look any different than Drew Lock. He didn't look any different than a backup quarterback in the NFL. Like, I didn't see anything from him that terrified me. The one guy that they've got that you've got to have an answer for, and yeah, a little bit of Homer, I guess, but it's LaVisca. He is the real deal.
Yeah.
You've got to account for him in many different forms. They utilize him all over the field and at various positions, and you better gang tackle that guy because if you try to take him down solo or if you try to go low on him and you don't wrap up his body and twist, he's going to break out of it. The dude's a great football player. It shows up on film. Other than that, though, D-Mac, I mean, on the offensive side of the ball, I almost feel like I could do the entire team just here in one segment and just get through it. But I guess the long story short is you see an offense that communication is struggling. You can see Trevor trying to give him signals to wide receivers. And the wide receivers, like, after they get a signal, they're looking at one another, like, trying to figure out, like, hey, what does that mean? What is he telling us? What does he want us to do right now? The offensive line, you could tell that they didn't have the mic pointed out, that they were not going to do the right linebackers all the time. Just did not feel like an intimidating offense at all. Trevor Lawrence, it's going to take some time. And Urban Meyer, he hasn't quite figured out, I guess, whatever his routine is and how he's going to coach these guys.
Let's talk to me about Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence, what'd you see?
Well, D-Mac, I saw a guy that his raw athleticism, you can see. Like you can see it. You can see the arm strength. You can see that there's a reason why he was drafted where he was. But, I mean, you look at the completion percentage. You look at the stats. Yeah, he put up some good yardage total. Like, I think the total yardage was like 315, 320, something like that.
332.
Okay.
Three touchdowns, three interceptions.
Yeah, I mean, it looked a little bit like Jameis Winston. It looked like a guy that could move you up and down the field, but, man, was he going to make as many mistakes as he was going to make positive things. You know, the completion percentage.
Yeah.
Maybe every other. You know, I don't know. Like, I don't know these stats. I'm just guessing. I'm guessing completion percentage was like 51.
His weighs 28 of 51. So,
okay.
Right around there. His QBR, where Teddy had the highest. Trevor Lawrence, out of 100, his QBR was 14.2. I mean, that's terrible.
I don't quite know what that means, but yeah, I know that that's
well,
not
it's,
good.
It's 100's great. Zero's like nothing.
Okay.
He's 14.2.
So that's
you
bad.
Just judge it.
Yeah,
sure.
I know that much. He can put some yards up on you, though, so you got to be careful because he can flip the field quickly, and the arm strength is real, and he's got some good wheels, too. So you got to be smart and disciplined in the rush lanes. It's not like you can glance over this team. No, they've got the ability to put up some points. He threw for over 300 yards in his first game ever in the NFL. That's saying something, right?
His interceptions, to me, looked terrible. And I do think there's differences with interceptions,
of course.
You know, where it just bounces off your receiver's hands. He should have caught it. I saw Trevor Lawrence just drilling the, you know, like, corners in the chest. Because it's as if he just didn't see them.
Well, he was hitting the numbers, right? Right where he was supposed
to. He was hitting the numbers, and it made me wonder, is there something about NFL defenses that are just so different than college defenses that he just doesn't recognize what's happening out there?
Well, there's a little bit of that for sure, and there's no doubt that he has never seen a defense that knows how to disguise a coverage like any NFL team can, any NFL team. So, yeah, it's that much, but more than anything, you can tell that he's just not comfortable in his own offense. Like, he's not comfortable with the decisions that he's making, with the audibles, at the line of scrimmage. He's just not, he doesn't know it like he did in college. He can put up points, though.
That's why I was just
going to flip the field.
I was just going to go there. That is a problem for him, no doubt about it. But when he's on, you can see the potential there, right?
Sure. Oh, no doubt, man. I mean, hey, you throw for over 300 yards in your first game in the NFL, you throw for 3 touchdowns, you would think, wow, that's one hell of a game. He just had the bad stuff that went along with it.
So what do you do to make a rookie quarterback look like a rookie quarterback who does have a remarkable amount of talent, so you don't want to go.
Gotta make this dude think all day long.
Okay.
Gotta make him think. I don't know that it's so much like pressure him, because I think Trevor's very smart, and I think that he knows how to take advantage of a team that is bringing pressure on him all day long. He knows his hot routes and stuff like that, but you got to make it very difficult on the back end disguising your coverage. We run a lot of zone coverage, but we got beat a couple times in man, right? So let's show man, let's be in zone. Let's show zone, let's be in man. Let's look like it's cover 2, end up in 4, right? Just confuse him. Do as much as you can to rotate those safeties and make sure that he's questioning things. And that's how you get to a rookie, just by making him feel like he doesn't know what his eyes are telling him.
All right, their best tight end is James O'Shaughnessy. Are you scared about him? Not scared, but I mean, are you concerned about him at all?
No. Not really.
Okay.
Like, offensively, LaVisca, that's the
kinda
main concern,
is, right?
I mean, and Trevor Lawrence.
Shark,
Travis Etienne's not playing.
Baby Shark, you worried about him?
Baby Shark.
DJ Shark.
Yeah. They're NFL players. Like I don't want to talk about these guys like they're not talented.
Okay.
They're NFL players. And if the day that you start disrespecting anybody in the NFL is the day that you're going to get humbled.
Of course.
So I don't want to sit here and act like they can't beat you. No, they've got guys that are getting paid a lot of money. And they're getting paid a lot of money because they're good at football. But based off the film that we have seen so far, nothing was popping out.
I just think it's just a matter of time before they make mistakes, Tyler. When I was watching it, it was like they were kind of going along. There were some kind of good things. This is against the Texans, by the way. And listen, I mean, Tyrod Taylor looked like a genius out there. And we'll get into their defense here in a second. But, I mean, who is going to put the Houston defense in any kind of elite category this year? Nobody. I don't know, man. To me, it looks like the Broncos are going to... Oh, talk to me about their offensive line real quick. Tell me what you see there with their offensive line.
Well, I saw some guys that look like they've got a good anchor. Cam Robinson playing left tackle. He's been a little bit up and down over the course of his career, but I like Cam Robinson. I think he's got a lot of potential still. That's the P word, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of the guys don't really know him. Like, you kind of got to study him. You got to figure out who they are. I know Andrew Norwell, been around forever, been around for a long time. You know, Panthers, we should all know who he is. Brandon Linder, didn't even know who that was. AJ Cann, didn't know who that was. Juwan Taylor. All right, you look at the offensive line and you say, respectable group. They hustled well, but they were not on the same page. I could tell you that much. It was obvious that they were not communicating well because they're letting linebackers go free in the run game all the time. Like they were just didn't have a hat on a hat.
Mm. All right, well, listen, the Texans didn't have any problems putting up points. They threw the ball, they ran the ball, they did whatever they wanted against the Jacksonville defense. It's a What to Know Wednesday. We'll get to that side of the ball next on Denver Sports Station 104.3, The Fan.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbis here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.
It's The Drive with Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac on Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan.
All right, What to Know Wednesday. We're learning about the Jacksonville Jaguars. And Teddy Bridgewater talked about the Jags, are they a guessing game?
You can say they're somewhat of a guessing game, but honestly, man, you do your research, you see what tree the defensive coordinator comes from, what's his philosophy and things like that. So you may have to go back and watch old tape from a previous team or something like that. But throughout the preseason, those guys have done some things. Week one, they did some great things. So it's a lot of tape out there for us to learn from, and we're just going to learn as this week go and hopefully be well prepared. Come Sunday.
All right, thank you, Teddy. By the way, I've got a great Teddy KJ Hamler story coming up in about 10 minutes from being down there today. We'll get to that in about 10 minutes. But let's look at the defense of the Jaguars. What are we looking at, Tyler?
Oh, man, D-Mac is just a team that is tough to figure out right now. I mean, well, it's not tough to figure out. It's just tough to figure out, like, what is it that you're scared of? What is it that we're worried by? I mean, the Houston Texans put up 37 points on this defense, right?
Yep.
It's a defense that if I add, I think I might have heard Zach, it was someone on our station today asked this question, like, if I asked you to name three starters on their defense, could you do it?
I could name one. Josh Allen. He's the only guy that really stands out to me. But other than that, no, I mean, I'm cheating. I can look at it. I would know Josh Allen, but
Miles Jack is about the only other one that it probably pops out from a household perspective.
Shaquille Griffin's on their team. Yeah. He's starting corner.
Yeah, well, I mean, those are names that you know now that you see it.
But
you weren't exactly aware that they were out there playing for them. You weren't exactly aware what kind of impact they're having on the team.
Correct.
You know, I don't know how to say it. They don't look good. The team allowed over 300 yards in passing. I mean, come on. 300 yards in the air, 160 yards on the ground. So you want to do it on the ground, you want to do it in the air, you could do it either way.
What do you want to do?
That's what they allowed in the first week against the Texans, one of the teams that, by the way, we said was going to be in the running for worst teams in the NFL. You know, they put up 37 points, and they're supposed to be one of the worst teams in the NFL. They play a lot of man coverage, and they don't have much help behind them. Similar to what we saw at the end of the Raiders-Ravens game, where you want to bring the house, you want to go man coverage, you want to go zero, okay. Well, you can get aggressive with that, but you better understand that if you've got a quarterback that knows how to identify it, you can be in a world of hurt really quickly because there's nothing behind you when you go zero like that. And what the Texans did is they got in a lot of tight bunch sets. So they got their wide receivers close to the offensive line and close to one another, and they would run just very simple, quick picks and rubs all day long that got these wide receivers wide open because they were in man coverage. So they weren't necessarily trying to hit home runs all day long, but they were just using quick, simple schemes that when you know a team plays man like the Jags do, you can create a wide-open vacancy because you just run one wide receiver through that area, you're going to make incidental contact, and then all of a sudden another dude is open. So know what you've got, plan for a lot of man coverage, plan on running the ball, and hopefully you can eat up as much clock as you possibly can.
The Texans put up 37 points against them. They ran the ball 41 times.
Right.
They threw the ball 32 times. They led basically start to finish. They were dominating them, putting up points big time, bigly, without throwing the ball.
D-Mac, I hate talking about NFL teams like this because I know that they've got good players. I know that any last one of those guys on any given day, they could play for the Broncos. They could play for a lot of teams in the NFL. It's not like they don't have talent on that team. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sitting here trying to disrespect the Jaguars, act like they're not capable of winning games. But all we've got is one game, and the one game was a disaster.
It was a disaster.
So I look at it and I say, all right, you should have your way offensively against these guys. You should be able to do what you want. Stay on schedule. As long as you don't get behind the eight ball, you're going to have a lot of success against this defense.
How many games did you play in your career in Jacksonville?
Oh, you know what's so funny about that? That's a great question. So I have played in every stadium in the NFL except for Jacksonville.
Are you kidding
me? I took a free agency visit there. So I went on basically a recruiting trip there. Mm-hmm. I've been in the stadium. I've seen all the facilities. I've seen the locker room. Mm-hmm. But that's the only stadium that I never played in.
Well, the only reason I asked that is there's something about the humidity or is it... Well, I'll just guess that it's close to Tampa, that it's kind of the same thing about playing outside in Tampa, that it's in the same range. So I don't know if there's anything inherent about being down there in Jacksonville that's a disadvantage for teams.
Well, get hydrated. You know, mm-hmm. I do think that heat and humidity is something that a lot of guys can struggle with.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what, D-Mac? The majority of the guys on our team, they come and go from all across America. Yeah. You know, a lot of our guys, they live in humidity year-round. Sure. And they come back here. It's nothing that's brand new to them. Take care of yourself. Make sure you drink plenty of liquids when you're on the plane. Make sure you drink plenty of liquids when you're at the team hotel. And don't let cramping be an issue.
So despite the myriad of injuries, and we'll get to where everybody stands in just a second, plus a great Teddy Bridgewater, KJ Hamler story in a second. Despite everything the Broncos have going on, which, of course, every NFL team deals with things week to week, offensively, we should be able to do whatever we want against the defense. And defensively, playing a rookie quarterback who's not recognizing things, and we see that they're not communicating that well.
Yep.
And if you want to throw in the intangibles about the rumors about your head coach maybe taking a job at USC, never mind perhaps this foolish he won't talk to the Denver media thing. You've got yourself a hot mess there in Jacksonville. This should be, oh man, I hate to even say it, but this should be a bit of a cakewalk for the Broncos.
You know, I'm okay with it. I am.
Dangerous words, though.
Look, I mean, cakewalk is dangerous words for sure. That's a dangerous way to describe the situation, but I'll make it real simple. You look at the games that you should win on your schedule, and this is at the top of the list, right? You had the Giants start off the season. You're like, hey, we should get a road win. Let's start off with the win against the Giants. Mm-hmm. Then you follow that up with the Jags, and you're like, hey, man, we couldn't ask for a better start to our schedule. We could be 2-0 after that, and then all of a sudden we got the Jets. And it's like, I don't want to keep going. I don't want to keep getting ahead of myself here, but it's easy. You can see how you could go down that road. So you got to stay in the moment. You got to win the game, but you got to win all the games you're supposed to win, and then you got to win a couple that you're not supposed to if you're going to go to the playoffs. This is one that you have to win because you're supposed to.
The Broncos are a 6-point favorite, which is really 9 points in terms of the game because it's a road game.
Right.
That is, for a road game, gargantuan. When was the last time the Broncos were a 6-point favorite on the road against anybody?
I don't know. Were we favorite like at all last year, ever?
Right.
Serious. Were we?
I do not know the answer to that. And being a 6-point favorite on the road, this may be not...
Dude, did you see...
I'm really going to curse this, because this may be the most winnable or most predictable, easy-to-win game for the Broncos in the past 5 years.
Yeah.
See, now, that's some dangerous talk right there.
Absolutely,
it?
It's dangerous talk.
Yeah.
And I know I've kind of been talking like that, but... these are real players, man. They're in the NFL. They get paid a lot of money, and there's a reason why they get paid a lot of money, because they're good at what they do.
I got a great Teddy Bridgewater, KJ Hamler story.
Kind of good at what they do. They're not really that good at what they do.
Stick around. You'll want to hear this story coming up next.
Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Tyler Columbus and D-Mac.
Spoon Man. By Brandon Stokely's favorite band, Nirvana.
Yes. Yes.
We'll get to Joel Klatt and his conversation with Urban Meyer. Boy, if you missed that this morning, it was
good
classic.
Stuff, huh?
Oh, my God. Spoon Man. I just paused. I paused so everybody could say Spoon Man in the car. Spoon Man. This is a... I feel like we should have some theme music for the legend of Teddy Bridgewater.
Oh, wow. But I like that. I mean, so it's got to be jungle themed, right?
I mean, not necessarily. Well, I know what you're saying.
I thought that's like his whole life story. I thought that's his journey, right?
Maybe.
I mean, that's the legend of Teddy Bridgewater. You put him in the jungle, he's coming out with a fur coat and a crown of leaves.
What's the crown of? Something.
Is it leaves?
Fedora. That's what he said. But there are, I don't know what legendary type of music, something bold. The legend of Teddy Bridgewater.
Okay. Well, think about, like, Mount Columbus.
But the, you know what's the funniest video? Is the Teddy Bridgewater with the cheerleaders? That video of the him strutting on the sideline with the cheerleaders?
I don't think I know what you're talking about.
Oh, you don't? Richie, where is that coming? You know, Richie knows it. Yeah. That was a high school game? You haven't seen that video of Teddy strutting with the cheerleaders?
I guess not.
Oh, my God. Can we get that?
I mean, I'll look it up right now.
Yeah. I don't even know where have I seen that, Richie? Where did that pop up? I feel like I've seen it all over the place.
It initially came out on Twitter.
That's a high school game, not a college game? That's a high school game? Okay.
Now, I'm fairly certain it's a high school game from either his high school or his hometown or something like that. And he was down there as a guest of the game, and then he was celebrating with the cheerleaders.
Oh, it's great. It's awesome.
All right, I'm looking it up.
Yeah, well, the Broncos did a celebration like it, too. Did you catch that?
What do I search? Teddy Bridgewater? That doesn't seem like the appropriate search right there.
I have no idea.
Yeah. That's fine. Kevin says that's fine.
I bet you it pops up. I'll bet you a coffee
do I need to
it
clear
pops
my
up.
History after this? No.
I'll bet you a coffee it pops up right away.
Okay.
Teddy Bridgewater strut? I don't know. The Broncos did a celebration like it, though. Did you not catch that? Maybe they did a celebration of that moment. Listen, here's another legend of Teddy Bridgewater. It comes from KJ Hamler. So listen to this from KJ from earlier today.
Teddy's been awesome and amazing, like big brother to me. So, you know, that he told the guys to move my locker next to him just so he can take me under his wing. And I ain't never had that before. You know, I've never been next to my quarterback, you know, always talking to him, picking his brain. So, you know, just him doing stuff like that and just talking to me after the drop, like, I'll disappoint.
I don't know if you caught that. Did everybody catch it? I'm going to play it again because I don't know if you caught it or not.
Brother to me. So, you know, that he told the guys to move my locker next to him just so he can take me under his wing.
That's interesting.
He told the guys to move his locker next to his, and then Hamler goes on.
Stuff like that and just talking to me after the drop, like, I was disappointed in the drop. You know, even in camp, I don't drop tugs and deep balls and stuff like that. Like, that's my thing. I'm a deep threat. And, you know, it just slipped through. You know, and he just told me, you know, hey, we're fine. Like, he was just very calm, relaxed. And, you know, just keep my head up, you know, even though I'm hard on myself. You know, I wish I could still get that one back, but you just got to move on from that play.
So, definitely interesting. I mean, why did he choose KJ? Why did he feel like I need KJ Hamler to be next to me? Or why do I need to be next to KJ Hamler, right? I mean, there could be a lot of things. There could be Teddy just really likes him, and he sees, like, potential to have some sort of deep connection there.
You ever hear of anything like that in the NFL?
Well, I mean, having lockers move to sit next. No,
yeah.
Not really.
Okay.
I mean, and I'm trying to figure out, like, why, right? Like, okay, if you want to sit next to Jerry Jeudy, all right, I get it. You want to sit next to Cortland Sutton. He's a team captain. You're a team captain. Okay, I get it. But maybe it's something deeper. Maybe this is just who Teddy Bridgewater is. Like, he sees guys, maybe they're kids to him that need to be developed, that need a little bit of mentorship in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, you know what? Like, I don't need to hang out with Cortland Sutton. He knows what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
I need to hang out with you, and I need to just kind of help you every chance that I've got. So that's cool, man. I mean, it's interesting.
I've never seen it. I've been in that Broncos locker room a million times. The quarterbacks are just next to the quarterbacks.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to put it. And then there's the running backs are together. Then the offensive line is together in general, and the defense is kind of together. I mean, you know, they could change things up. It's been a couple of years since we've been in the Broncos locker room because of COVID.
No, I mean, that's mostly the way it is. Every now and then you get on a team that a coach is like, nope, we're not going to have positions be together. We're going to split you all up and make sure everybody gets to know one another. And then what ends up happening is everybody just leaves their locker and then they just go sit with their peers somewhere else.
Right. But a wide receiver next to a quarterback. I know it doesn't sound that radical. I just don't. Tyler, I just don't recall it in terms of locker room setting.
There's something there that clearly Teddy feels like, I need to make sure that you're doing the right things, right? So it's cool, but it's also maybe a sign that, hey, KJ Hamler's got some maturation that he needs to go through, right?
I think that's pretty obvious.
Yeah. So there's something about KJ that Teddy just is like, nope, I don't trust you on your own right now.
Yeah. Well, but KJ's what? He was young coming in because he came out early and he didn't redshirt or anything. I think he was pretty young. And I think he's still pretty young, obviously. But this is just the legend of Teddy. You got a theme song? I did just see the
Teddy Bridgewater strut walk. I guess that's what we're going to call it, the strut walk.
I guess.
That's solid. That's impressive, yeah.
What's your suggestions for music? We'll see if you got something in. Oh, the Survivor?
Oh, that's a little too obvious, right? I mean, can we go with that? Is that just too obvious?
I thought the legend would be something more dramatic with strings.
Survivor does work. I mean, it really does. He's a survivor.
All right. Okay. Throw on the. Do you have it right there? Put it.
Teddy's been awesome and amazing, like big brother to me.
Yeah,
so,
it works.
You know, that he told the guys to move my locker next to him just so he can take me under his wing.
Okay.
And I ain't never had that before. You know, I've never been next to my quarterback, you know, always talking to him, picking his brain. So, you know, just him doing stuff like that and just talking to me after the drop, like, I was disappointed in the drop. You know, even in camp, I don't drop tuds and deep balls and stuff like that. Like, that's my thing. I'm a deep threat. And, it just slipped through, you know, and he just told me, you know, hey, we're fine. Like, he was just very calm, relaxed, and, you know, just keep my head up, you know, even though I'm hard on myself, you know, I wish I could still get that one back, but you just got to move on from that play.
The legend of Teddy Bridgewater. Ooh, I kind of like it. All right.
I'm telling you, man, for where this team's at right now, Teddy represents a lot of stuff that you need your guys to learn. Yeah, Teddy's been through it, man. Like, he's been a starter. He's lost his job. He's been cut. He's been traded. He's moved across America 3 or 4 different times now. But at the end of the day, he finds a way to get his job done most of the time. And that's what our team needs to learn how to do. Like, we need to learn how to overcome a few bad situations. And if you get behind to the Jags, you shouldn't. But if you do, are you going to survive it or not?
Urban Meyer stupid to his face. You'll hear why.
Come on, Joel.
It's The Drive with Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac on Denver's Sports Station. 104.3 The Fan.
That's what you're going by? Elevation game?
I'm totally with Richie on this one.
Wow, all right. I'm going up someplace. Even though you drive south, you're going up there because it's an elevation game.
So Richie has been going down to Colorado Springs a lot.
Well,
lately.
That's the right way to say it.
But Richie says, I've been going up to Colorado Springs.
He says
Springs,
it incessantly.
Right?
It's nails on a
every
chalkboard.
Every time he says that, D-Mac has to go out of his way to be like, up, you're going up to Colorado Springs?
Nails on the chalkboard saying up to Colorado Springs.
I feel like you just have an angst against Colorado Springs still deep down.
I hear Richie, like, if I'm going somewhere, I'm just going up there. Yeah. Although I did just naturally say going down to Colorado Springs.
Right.
So but I am like Colorado. Oh, yes, who are you? Yeah, you're native. Yeah, you don't have any excuse.
I grew up here.
You grew up here? That's right. You grew up here because you got older in age and you actually physically got taller.
Colorado Springs is higher in elevation than where we are currently at. And I'm just going to stick with the fact that that's going to be my excuse since I know I'm just never going to be able to say it right. I'm just not.
All right.
Yeah, you know what? I take it back. D-Max, right. That does bother me. Yeah. It's so obvious. You're going down to Colorado Springs.
I know, exactly. Would you say you're going down to Aurora?
No, you know what I would say?
You're talking to the guy that
came
from the Florida-Alabama border, so.
I would say I survived Aurora.
Hey, there you go. Ragging on my hometown. Even though I technically live in Centennial. Yeah, I hate that, by the way.
And they're right on the board. I live.
Oh, it bothers you that you're in Centennial?
Oh, man, I'm ACO all the way, man. I'm Aurora, Colorado. If
apparently
anybody,
you're not,
if any, I know it kills me.
Yeah.
But if I open my fence, I'm in Aurora. But if I close my fence, I'm in freaking Centennial. Seriously. Because Smoky Hill High School
that's
is...
how I am with Parker and Castle Rock. I am seriously, like, I am on the line.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
so part
I
of
say,
your neighborhoods and...
Well, I say I live in Castle Rock, but my address is Parker. It just, because naturally it feels like you're closer to Castle Rock than you are Parker.
I'll be going up, down, so... So if it's an elevation change, you're going up there or down there.
Well, if he said I went up to Mount Evans, that would make sense.
It would make sense.
Yeah.
Wouldn't, you know.
Because I went up Mount Evans.
I went up Mount Evans.
Yeah. But you did have to go down.
Is that what you say? Because you live in the Parker area. You say, I'm going down to Denver, even though you're driving north. But in elevation, Denver's actually lower than Parker.
Probably not. I think I'm just using this as a convenient excuse to the fact that I, for whatever reason, just cannot seem to say the correct thing.
You just can't say I'm going down to Colorado Springs.
I just don't do it. I guess I just think when I'm going somewhere, I always just default to up.
Okay,
going
up you're going up everywhere.
Here's the deal. You're both right, okay? You're just both right. Like, D-Mac is technically right. Yes. No, I mean, you're right. Like, he should say I'm going down to Colorado Springs. But you also just have something, like, up your, you know what, every time he says it, that you have to go out of your way to make him sound like a fool every time he says it.
It's nails on a chalkboard. It's a trigger moment.
You're just going out of your way to make him sound like an idiot.
It's just a trigger moment. What can I tell you? Mm. Like, I have a hard time not
correcting. I do that for, like, 4 hours a day with you, though, so I can relate with that.
What, get triggered?
Like, we'll just try to make you sound dumb.
Yeah. You fail sometimes. You succeed sometimes.
Yeah. You know, it's give and take.
Like when Chicken Figure says they don't do nothing, or what does he say? Kevin, you say...
Yeah, he says nothing a lot.
You say the nothing word sometimes.
We didn't do nothing.
Yeah, we didn't do nothing.
Double. Double.
Yeah. They didn't do nothing.
Jaguars didn't do nothing this weekend.
They didn't do nothing against
the
Texans.
Their offense didn't do nothing. Defense, they allowed a whole lot of something. But they really didn't do nothing to stop them.
You know, the Broncos are going to go up to Jacksonville where the defense will not do nothing. Mm. Can't wait to go up to Jacksonville.
That's an interesting one.
Going to get on that plane, go up to Jacksonville.
We are really going down this rabbit hole, though.
Joel Klatt. Who is Joel Klatt, man? He's doing Cadillac commercials. He's getting... called by Urban Meyer.
Joel Klatt's big time, man.
Yes!
I know this because I still get a Christmas card from him every year, but he doesn't ever pick up the phone.
Oh, really?
I mean, it takes like two or three tries. It's like, you know, if I hound him, he'll pick up the phone. But the first try, never picks up the first time, no.
No kidding.
Yeah.
He's pretty good.
But I get the Christmas card every year.
Joel's pretty good with me. Yeah. Oh, I don't get a Christmas card.
Oh, well, there you go.
But he picks the phone up.
Yeah. Takes me a couple attempts.
Yeah. I am not on the Klatt. Oh, how do those Christmas? Does he do the family card?
Oh, dude, they're gorgeous.
Is it ridiculous?
Like,
I mean, is it the perfect
he's gorgeous.
Family?
His wife is gorgeous. His kids are gorgeous. Right. They live on the beach. They've got, like, right. I mean, yeah, it's, like, just, like, perfect. Like,
we all should.
Hey, guys, if you didn't know, right. I'm perfect.
Yeah. How do we not, like, hate him?
Can you make this quick? I got a meeting.
Yeah, sorry. So here is Joel Klatt about Urban Meyer and USC.
Well, listen, I know Urban well, and that tweet was more it was more a philosophy of what USC should be thinking rather than those are the guys that I think would answer and say yes to the call. I don't think Urban's going to go back and coach college football, but we've seen him make crazy decisions before. I know him well now, and I was shocked that he took the Jacksonville job and actually told him so. He called me and I was like, are you crazy? This seems really stupid. And he was like, well, oh, well.
He's
so
such
anyways.
A liar. Are you kidding me? Joel's such a liar. No chance he said that to him.
You think
he's absolutely lying.
Really?
Yes. Yes. You think that Urban Meyer called him up and he was like, what are you doing? This is stupid. Why would you do that?
You think Joel's lying?
I think that he had a conversation with him that has been sensationalized.
Well, Mike and Mark kind of questioned Joel, and he doubled down.
Well, I didn't say crazy, Mike. I said stupid. I was like, are you stupid? What's going on? And he was like, well. And then he said, listen, Trevor Lawrence is a generational quarterback, and if you're going to go take a swing in the NFL, that's the guy I would want to do it with. And so that's the reason that he's there, and I hope it works out for him, and we'll see. You know, I mean, I think he's got a steep learning curve because he's such a college-oriented coach, and we've seen him make some missteps so far in Jacksonville. But I think Urban's a phenomenal football coach. He is a phenomenal leader of men. It's fourth and one for him on almost every single day, and that sense of urgency permeates the program, in particular in college, and he's had a lot of success.
Well, they did work together. I mean, it's reasonable they've got a friendship.
I totally believe that Urban Meyer called him. I totally believe that Joel might have even been like, why the Jags? You know, why did you choose this situation?
Yeah.
Do I think that he called him stupid? I don't. Would you call him stupid?
If I had a personal relationship with,
good for Joel, man. Joel, you know,
I don't know.
He's a brave soul.
Maybe.
Joel doesn't have anybody to answer to, you know, I mean, Urban's calling him. Maybe he did it.
What's funny is that Joel would share that story, I guess, right. if you didn't do it. I mean, it is, I actually don't.
Urban Meyer is a very confusing dude.
Yeah, like, I don't know why he took the job, actually.
Well, I don't know why he's done a lot of stuff that he's done in his life. Right. Like, why not stay in Florida? Why have migraines? Why go to Ohio State? Why have migraines again? Why retire two or three different times from coaching when you know that you're never retiring? Like,
I don't know.
You know, there's always been a reason. There's always been something that's been going on behind the scenes, dude, that he's been running away from.
Once you get one of those cush TV jobs. Now, I think Joel does real work, but that whole analyst in the studio, hey, coach, what do you think, jobs? Oh, my God, Tyler. Is there an easier job in TV than that?
It's really hard to put a coach into an analyst world and make him feel fulfilled, though.
Oh, well, really no doubt hard about that, because it's playtime. It's, you know, you're in like recess. I mean, it's nothing. It's so not challenging.
I mean, yeah, you say like it's cush. Yeah, it's easy. It pays very well.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of work that Urban Meyer was going to have to put into it. Of course, like, yeah, it's a cush job. But there's no way if you're a coach, like, you just, it's not enough.
Oh, I get it. It all depends on how much your fire's burning. You got a guy like Jimmy Johnson, for example, right? He just got that TV job, and he was never looking back.
He just liked
the lifestyle. He liked having a 12-month-a-year tan. He liked living in Florida and fishing in the Keys. And so he signed up for that job, and he's just had it for the last 20 years.
When are they going to get a little bit younger on that show, by the way?
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? Oh, it's ridiculous.
Holy cow. Talk about aging yourselves out.
It is not good. And by the way, is this the 20th year in a row where Boomer Esiason has a sore throat? I mean, is anybody going to find him a lozenge?
Hey, I can relate, all right? Take it easy.
Oh, you don't sound like that.
Take it easy. I can relate, though.
I don't know what Boomer's doing. I just figure these guys, they don't see each other all week. They get together on Friday night for dinner, and they just drink their ass off and are slightly hungover, you know, doing the show on Sundays. That's the only way I can figure it, because none of them ever seem to really be all that fit when they're doing the show, except for like Howie Long. Everybody else seems exhausted.
Well, have you seen how old they are?
Terry Pratchett.
It's a really old show.
It's
like,
so
seriously.
Bad. I can't watch. I got to be honest with you. I really don't watch it. I watch ESPN.
And I honestly don't think that they can even relate to the game today.
No,
I
know.
Like, I listen to them talking about the game sometimes, and I'm like, that's just not the game how it is anymore. That's not, the NFL is not the same as it once was.
Yeah. No, I agree. Well, I don't watch the shows, so that's probably why. It's a miracle I even caught it. But ESPN to me before the game, or I'm just watching NFL Network. Or just listening to The Fan, because I just care about the Broncos anyways. I am addicted to the Red Zone, though. The Red Hansen, that dude, was it Chris Hansen? Kurt Hansen? Kurt Hansen does like a racing show here. Hansen, whatever his name is, right? Chris Hansen? That dude's my dude. That dude, I should know his name if he's my dude. I should go, Scott Hansen.
I do enjoy having the Red Zone as an option to turn to, like in commercial breaks or whatever, because you know you're always going to have action. I'm just not a huge Red Zone guy, though. Like, I like watching football games. I like watching, like, the strategy that's behind it. Like, first and 10 and where it's going to go. Like, I don't know, man. I mean, Red Zone to me, that's like watching SportsCenter for 4 hours a day.
Oh,
right?
I'm addicted to it. I saw somebody say, when are they going to do Red Zone for college football? And sign me up for that. Because I'll tell you, college football is virtually unwatchable
So do you not watch like NFL games start to finish? Do you only watch on Red Zone?
I watch
outside of the Broncos.
Well, I watch Thursday night, Monday night, Sunday night because I don't have a choice.
Sure.
But if I ever have a choice, I always watch Red Zone. Mm. If I have a choice.
For me, that's just like it's a commercial break. It's like, let's go see what's going on, highlights during the commercials.
Dude, when they go octopus.
Am I weird? Am I alone in that?
Nah, I've heard other people say that. I've heard real football guys like you, football guys, say things very similar. I think I've heard like Chad Brown say it like that too. That makes sense to me because that's what you're used to. The rest of us just, us muggles, we just, the quicker the better.
Give me more points.
Well, yeah.
Score.
In general, you know why.
Faster.
You know why, though, really.
Because you don't know what you're talking about, so
people,
you just like the Red Zone?
No, people love sports.
You don't know how to break down like a 15-play drive? You just know if it's wow, that was a beautiful pass. Like, I could talk about that, but like a whole 15-play drive? I can't break that down. Are you kidding me?
No, that's not what they're concerned about.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Well, you asked my opinion. That was my...
Yeah, well, you're wrong on that.
Muggles.
The Muggles are interested in the Red Zone because they love sports. Ka-ching. Mm. You have it? That's why they watch it. Are you kidding me? Please. How many parlays do we have going on?
I don't know. Zach's not allowed to pick them anymore, though. He got me this weekend. Man, he was so hyped up. He had the pick of a lifetime. It's like a three-team teaser. I didn't even understand the difference between a teaser and a parlay. Like, what's the difference? I don't know. It's like, well, you're buying points. So because you're buying points, mm-hmm. you're getting more here, and it's impossible to lose. Like, you're just going to win. So I'm like, all right,
how'd
cool.
How'd you do?
Well, I got my butt whipped. Yeah.
It's impossible. By the way, Zach Bye, have we seen a more hangdog look on his face than when he had to drop off the $20 bill for me? Mm. By the way, he asked me if I had Venmo, and I said no.
Good move. Smart move.
I have Venmo.
Yeah. No, I like that.
I wanted him to,
That's a dominating move right there. That's like a I'm on top kind of move. Yep.
I'm never doing Venmo with Zach. Yeah, I wanted him to,
I mean, now you can't pay him with Venmo, so it's going to go both ways, But I do respect the hustle behind what you did there.
You got Venmo? Of course I have Venmo.
Stokely does that to me all the time.
Yeah.
Stokely and I, we like to hang out, We like a lot of stuff, and we find ways to, enjoy a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So I always, a lot of stuff gets exchanged. He refuses to let anything get exchanged via Venmo.
Of course.
He refuses.
Of course, because it's the humiliation that's part of the fun.
Like, I don't care how much stuff is being exchanged, how big stuff is or how small stuff is,
mm-hmm.
cannot be exchanged on Venmo with Stokely.
It's KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont Denver. It's 5 o'clock.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.